Welcome to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
That's right. It is time for Monday Night Lights. Good evening. Brad and Laney here with you. Next hour, be here with you up until 7 o'clock, where we'll hand things over to Leah and get things back to where they usually are. Yes, this is the award-winning Monday Night Lights radio program. Thank you to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters for that. I greatly appreciate all of the support that I've had from here that's led us to this spot, and we'll continue for a long time. Your number to call today at any time is 362-3417. Not as much happening in high school sports right now in Northeast Michigan, so the phone lines are definitely open. Anything you want to hit on in the world of sports, I will, of course, have a nice hour of stuff for you if you guys decide not to take part. You can text, you can call 362-3417. We'll keep it pretty open today. With, again, not a lot happening, and up until really we get deep into the spring season, there's not going to be a lot happening. So we'll take our high school thoughts as we can get them, but we'll focus, of course, on some other things. We are brought to you today, as always, by Blue Bear Jewelry in East Dallas, by Kevin Hummer Accounts at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas, by Northeastern Window and Door in Harrisville and Alpena, by Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville, and by Klaus Family Ace Hardwares with 14 locations to serve you. So this past weekend was the end of the winter sports season. We had the boys MHSAA finals. You heard all of them right here on Saturday on WKJC. There were lots of things to kind of take out of that, and there were a couple of things that I pulled out, and this is where I'm going to start today. Kind of our biggest story does stay in the high school realm, not really focusing on anything up here, but just a couple of thoughts that I have and a couple of thoughts that I'd love to get from you guys. And the first one is the lack of a shot clock in high school basketball. We talked about it throughout the year with the local teams of a team like Mayo, that there's a chance that in an 8-minute quarter, Mayo might only get, let's say, 10 or 11 possessions in that quarter, because when they do have it, they have no problem holding the ball for well over a minute. And in the most part, I'm not too worried about the way that the game is played with no shot clock in the first couple of minutes. And also, many teams run such a quick offense that they're more of a let's get a shot up in the first 10 to 15 seconds. But even saw it and you heard it when I was listening to some of the games over the weekend, that there were teams that were just holding the basketball and holding the basketball and holding the basketball forever in a state championship game. Now, you do anything to win a state championship game, right? You do absolutely anything, but some of it was just really difficult to watch, was really difficult to listen to, because there was just so much of holding it. And as someone who broadcasts those games, I can tell you how difficult it is when you're running a possession, and I have enough time, you know, I'm sitting, you know, I'm calling whatever is happening, and as they swing it around the outside and then dump it in, kick it back out, and I have time to look at, you know, I'm doing a game with Kurt Romberger or something, and I'm able to turn and look at him and be like, what is going on here, man? We're not worrying about a shot inside, not attempting to get shots. That's what it is. It's not like these teams are even attempting to get shots. They're attempting to run the clock. But my biggest problem with it isn't exactly in the second quarter of a game, first quarter, just running your offense the way Mayo up here does, where they work it. They will not take a bad shot the way that Mayo runs their offense, right? They will not take a bad shot, which, you know, is smart. But when it really comes and where it really starts to bother me is, and it bothers me when I've broadcasted games the last 5-6 years, especially in games that mean so much. You figure what? When is crunch time? When, you know, we've all been watching the NCAA tournament. When do you really start to worry about a team? About a minute, maybe a minute and a half left, depending on how many possessions you're down. You say you're down 2 to 3 possessions. You know, somewhere between 6 and 8, 9 points, you're really going to start to worry at about, what, the minute and a half, even 2 minute mark, you're really starting to count possessions. But even in college basketball, you figure with 2 minutes left, you're probably going to get 3 to 4 possessions a minute. That you're still going to be able to rack up possessions in that amount of time where your team still has a chance to get back in it. Now, let's say now you're watching your favorite high school team play, whoever it may be, and your favorite team is down 6 to 8 points with 4 minutes left in the game, 3 minutes left in the game, whatever it may be. You almost have to get into foul mode in high school basketball at that point. Halfway through the fourth quarter, you might have to start fouling. Because the other team just takes the air out of the basketball. The team that has the lead with 3 to 4 minutes left takes the air out of the basketball. And it's good and it's bad. It's obviously good when it works, when you're able to handle it. But there's also a bad time, like one that I remember is in the second Oscoda versus Tawas meeting, the one that was won at the buzzer, or towards the buzzer right at the end of the game. Oscoda got a lead in... Man, they went to a spread offense, really kicked it out with like three and a half minutes left and just didn't have the ball handlers to hold on to the ball long enough. And it ended up getting them out of rhythm for the last 4 minutes where they struggled to score in the last 4 minutes because they weren't running the regular offense. It can be good, it can be bad. But it's brutal for the consumer. Also, it's brutal for the announcer to try and sit in when there's a game that's 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left, and you saw it in these high school championship games, spacing the floor out with 3-4 minutes left, and let's take our time with these possessions. What are kids learning in basketball from that? What are you learning from with 4 minutes left, eating the clock for 2.5 minutes? I think that if you're trying to teach basketball, we should be teaching efficiency. We should be teaching how to break down a defense, get the best shot. And basketball is a fast-paced game, and especially in high school, there's only 32 minutes of it, not 40 like college or 48 like the pros. There's a whole nother quarter in college basketball. Imagine if your team had a whole nother quarter. Now they play 2 20-minute halves, but you get my point, a whole nother 8 minutes. There's another 16 minutes, so another entire half of what is high school basketball is played in the pros. So imagine if your team had 3 halves to try and make something happen. But you can cut that all down. I mean, there's great stories before college basketball implemented a shot clock of teams holding the basketball, just passing it around. Especially in the NCAA tournament when you were an underdog, you just kept the ball away from the star team. I think that it's something that needs to be examined further. I know that it's been mentioned by the MHSAA. They thought about it, and they're obviously, and rightfully so, saying that there's just schools that wouldn't be able to do it, to add another clock, and schools that wouldn't be able to train another, you know, maybe another official, you'd have to learn it, and you'd have to go with all sorts of training. It's worth it. It's worth it to do. And maybe, and it's not like you implement it now for next season. Give schools 2-3 years to figure it out. Implement it for, hey, starting in the 2024 high school basketball season, the 2024-2025 high school basketball season, 2025-2026 high school basketball season, there's going to be a shot clock in varsity basketball. JV, you can keep it how it is. That's fine. You're truly learning the game. So it might take some time. I'm fine with it. And it doesn't have to be 24 like the NBA. It doesn't have to be 30 like it doesn't. If you want to do a 40-second shot clock, that's fine. Now, most possessions, you wouldn't even have to worry about it, right? Most possessions, you would not have to worry about the 40-second shot clock. If we implemented that in high school basketball, just bear with me here on this hypothetical. Most possessions, you would not have to worry about a 40-second shot clock. Teams usually move pretty fast, especially teams up here. We call a lot of up-paced games with teams like Standish and Ogama Heights, who both love to run. Oscoda usually does. They slowed it down a little bit this year. Trying to do things as quickly as possible is something we see a lot. But when it gets down to the end of the game, or when teams who do hold the basketball, you know, a team like Mayo or whoever it may be, who do hold the basketball and wait for good shots, they have to start to rush a little bit. They have to start feeling a little bit of pressure when that clock gets to 15, gets to 13, where they have to get into something and they have to find a set that works. You can't just watch those dribble handoffs and pass handoffs at the top of the key for 45 seconds because that's what it is a lot. I don't mind if a team just, it's great defense, you know, a team plays great defense, you can't get a shot up. But it's different when you are sitting there running your motion offense up at the top of the key. And I think it's time that high school implements a shot clock. I think it's something that needs to be done. And I'm not saying there's no chance you could make it happen next year, right? There's no chance it could happen. But I think if you look at 3-4 years down the road, I think it could happen. It's something that should happen. And I don't know what the perfect number is. I personally think 40 is too much, but that's a number when I've talked about it with people, when I've mentioned it. You know, I've been around 40 is kind of the number people talk about. I think 30 should be the number. I think you get half a minute to get a shot up. Half a minute to get that shot up. I think that's the way it's got to be. I think you have to. I don't care if they change it a little bit where it's like, well, the shot clock only starts when you get across half court. You know, where you still have your 10-second violation, get across half court. Once half court goes, boom, that is when the shot clock begins. I don't care what you do. But I think there needs to be a way to get that into the game because we were watching championship basketball this past weekend, or in this case, listening to championship basketball this past weekend here, if you were listening here. And you could just hear sometimes, I mean, they're just holding the basketball. Now, typically, when you looked at like Division I or something, sometimes it's a little bit quicker, but there were times where you're just watching a team just swing the ball, swing the ball, swing the ball, swing the ball. And I just, one, it's not good for the consumer, and two, it just, I don't know what the kids are getting from it. I don't know what the players are getting from that. What are you gathering from holding the ball for 40 seconds outside of the other team not scoring, I guess, for that amount of time? That's not the way the game should be played. I think a shot clock needs to be implemented. Again, 3-4 years down the road. Let's aim for the 2025-26 school season, high school basketball season. Of a shot clock being implemented. I think you just have to. Then another one that I have a whole lot less on, but it was brought up. I was kind of, you know, looking through Twitter and looking at a couple of things that some of the high school coverage Twitter pages were talking about. And one thing that got brought up a lot is the dominance of private schools. That you look at the teams that won the championships, you have a good amount of private schools. Between boys and girls basketball, that you're maybe that private schools should be in a different league than public schools. And I don't know where I stand on that because I'm not sure what the full ratio of public schools to private schools is. You know, I'm not sure how to exactly sort that out of, well, you know, we got some that are pretty big, some that are pretty small. I mean, Warren De La Salle wins in Division I. Schoolcraft wins in Division II. Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian wins in Division IV. Schoolcraft won in Division III. You're talking about some of these private schools that, you know, don't, are able to, honestly, they're able to recruit. I mean, if they want to, they can recruit. And just one team that, you know, we've kind of covered a little bit around here. I mean, they're not from around here or anything, but the private school of Traverse City St. Francis, who a lot of our area teams have run into. Traverse City St. Francis, whether it be Ogama Heights or Oscoda in the playoffs. And last year in baseball, that's who beat Oscoda in the regional final. It was a really good Traverse City St. Francis private school. And they're always really, really good. Which makes sense, right? They're getting a lot of money from the outside. They're, you know, able to have, I mean, Traverse City is some of the nicest facilities that I've been able to broadcast from. These private schools, should they be in a different league? I'm not sure. I think you'd have to make it work out, you know, where it's fair for everybody, I guess. Because I'm not sure there's enough private schools to make it happen where they're in their own league. I'm not sure that you could get enough out of that to still get your you know, football is eight divisions. Could you get eight divisions worth of private schools in the playoffs? I'm not sure you could do that. I think it's too complicated. I think it's tough. I'm just not sure there's enough private schools to make it happen. They'd have to play in a much smaller tournament in each league. Either that, or it would essentially just be one league for all of them, which isn't fair. Or maybe just two leagues, kind of a class A and a class B. So I don't know. I don't know how it works out. I don't know what the best way to do it is. But it's something that was brought up that I was like, well, I'll bring it up on here, see if other people have opinions on it when it comes to private schools versus public schools in the MHSAA playoffs, because you have three private schools that won boys finals, basketball championships, that ended up winning three out of the four. So maybe there is something where private schools kind of have an advantage right now, or this is just kind of a passing year of teams in private schools who have the battle. But the number one thing that I was concerned about is that shot clock, where, you know, you watch basketball and the NCAA tournament has been so great at the end of games because you do have the shot clock that doesn't factor. I mean, you can't have, you know, a team just hold the ball for the last 4 minutes of the game when they're up by 10 points. And the other team has to foul with 4 minutes left because they're counting their possessions. You're not seeing that. And it's something that I think needs to be thought of more. Feel free to get your thoughts in. You can text, you can call 362-3417. Should there be a shot clock implemented in high school basketball? If so, how long should it be? 362-3417, call, we can talk. And also, we're going to talk about a little Detroit Lions stuff today. They had a couple of big announcements. Did football in Detroit. Plus, we'll also talk a little bit about the Detroit Tigers. Should Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson make the NCAA tournament? Should they make the roster? And then we'll talk about the NCAA tournament as well with the Final Four. That's all coming up right here. It's Monday Night Lights on 104.7 WKJC.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Owis. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Owis. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet models with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $750 in Chevy Select Market Cash, plus $500 in Chevy Consumers Cash. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Now is a great time to complete those interior home renovations. True Value Easy Care Ceiling White, $19.99 per gallon. Replacing interior doors, we stock birch and six-panel pre-hungs, bifolds, and a complete line of interior trim. Remodeling a kitchen or bathroom, check out the latest in colors and styles at our Harrisville store. Looking for shiplap? 1x8 pine, 89 cents per lineal foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity, offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint. Now Benjamin Moore's quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood, along with award-winning service and advice Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock, with people who know their paint. Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Allen here with you. It is Monday Night Lights 6:20 on the Sunrise side. Hopefully you're enjoying your Monday evening. So the Final Four is set in college basketball and men's college basketball. Two out of the four are set in women's college basketball. Michigan plays tonight in the Elite Eight in women's college basketball. They'll take on Louisville tonight. So make sure you check that out. But for the men's side of things, it's amazing. Through all the wildness that was this tournament, right? Through all of the upsets, all of the teams that we were surprised by Arkansas and Houston, who made runs last year, who looked like they might be perennial powerhouses with their programs, with, of course, St. Peter's making their run to the Elite Eight, with all of the different upsets, Michigan winning a couple of games. Our Final Four, nothing but blue bloods, baby. Villanova and Kansas will play in the first game on Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then possibly the one of the biggest Final Four matchups in my lifetime is North Carolina and Duke. These two bitter rivals. North Carolina blew out Duke at the end of the regular season in Coach K's last home game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And all you Duke haters can put on your Carolina Sky Blue at 8:49 p.m. on Saturday as North Carolina and Duke, the 8 seed North Carolina, will take on Duke. There's lots of stories to take from the NCAA tournament, of course, St. Peter's being the biggest one. And, you know, it's a fun story, but I was honestly rooting against them on over the weekend. I was rooting against them. I know that sounds bad. To root against St. Peter's was a yesterday afternoon. I love the tournament. I love the NCAA tournament. I think it's great. But there is such thing as too many upsets. At some point, we have to remember that this is still the battle for the national championship game. This is still the battle for who the best team in college basketball is. And there's no one in the world who can tell you St. Peter's is that, right? And so it's fun in that first weekend. I'll take whatever upsets. There is still such thing as too many. But, you know, upsets can happen in the first weekend, and I'll even take some in the second, you know, with the Sweet 16. But when it comes to the Elite Eight, I want the best teams win. You know, if making a run to the Elite Eight is great, and making a run to the Sweet 16 is honestly the best for when it comes to these the Cinderella stories, that, as it's called, with teams like St. Peter's. But this is still the best teams in the world, the best college teams in the country who I want playing. And luckily, we're getting that in the Final Four. North Carolina, albeit they're an 8 seed, has played as well, if not better. They might be the best team in the tournament. They might have been the best team. If you were to look at who have been the most impressive teams, just not St. Peter's and their Cinderella run, it's nice, but they've not. You cannot sit here and say they were the better team in many of their matchups. Duke looked really, really good all tournament. Kansas might be the best team in the tournament. They're the number one seed. And Villanova has fought hard in every single game. And when they get rolling, they're a great team. Now, they are going to be majorly shorthanded on Saturday, Villanova is. But another interesting stat that I found when I was just kind of looking through stuff is 0.1% of the brackets that were made online predicted the correct Final Four. And it's amazing how much all of us refuse to pick for the Blue Bloods, even though they're the ones who always make it. That's why they're the Blue Bloods. When you think of the best college basketball teams of the past, let's say, 10 years, you'd say, oh yeah, Villanova's won a couple of titles. Now, usually you would say Gonzaga, even though they haven't won a title. If you just go with, you know, teams that have been really good, I think if you were to list, let's say, the top 10 teams of the last 10 years, there's no way you would make that list without Villanova, Duke, North Carolina, and Kansas. There's absolutely no way you could make that happen. And here we are again, where we don't have that team that makes their deep run to the Final Four, like when Loyola of Chicago a couple of years ago, was that 2018, made their run to the Final Four before losing to Michigan, who would then lose to Villanova in the national championship game. You're not seeing those teams make their deep runs like George Mason did. You're not seeing these types of teams make these types of runs in this tournament. You're instead, now North Carolina again an 8 seed, but again, this is a lot like, you know, if you go back, you're looking at darn near 10 years now, but if you go back and look at when North Carolina and Kentucky, or not North Carolina, UConn and Kentucky played about a decade ago, and they were an 8-9 matchup. But yet, still, it's UConn and Kentucky. Those are two big programs in college basketball. And we all, of course, love the Cinderellas, right? We all love them. We think they're great. But in the Final Four, we want the best teams, because at the end of the day, what we have to crown is the national champion, right? Imagine if, you know, in the college football playoff, if we're putting, you know, North Dakota State in there just because they were really good in, you know, Division 1A FCS, you know, and we put them in there because, well, it, you know, Cinderella run type thing. No. We want the four best teams. And if you look at the last 3 weeks, we're lucky that we've gotten the four best teams. Kansas, I thought, was the most impressive team throughout the season. I thought they were the ones who, when you watch the regular season, I thought Kansas in that Big 12 conference, which is a bear, were consistently good. They had up and down days, but that's going to happen in the best conference in basketball, the Big 12. I know us Big 10 fans love to think it's the Big 10. It's not. It's the Big 12. And you could even say the ACC might be the second best, just at the top. I think depth, the Big 12, and then the Big 10, then the ACC at the top. But I digress. Kansas, to me, looked like they were the best team all year. I really am impressed with them. I think they're going to handle Villanova pretty easily. Villanova plays usually only six guys, and now two of them are hurt. They're going to have to find someone who steps up. They're going to need huge days out of their best players to even have a chance on Saturday. Kansas is really deep. They're really good. They have one of the best scorers in the country who comes off the bench in Remy Martin. North Carolina Duke's going to be a really good matchup. Obviously, that's a rivalry. That is, you know, every game could be Coach K's last game. Every game the rest of the way, which now there's only two left, it could be Coach K's last game. And heck, if we know that he only has at most two left, but and losing to your rival in the Final Four would be a bad way to go out, right? Be a bad, bad way to go out. Duke might be the most impressive team right now. I think we're steamrolling towards a Duke-Kansas final. And next Monday, when we have our finals set and when I'm previewing that national championship game, I'll let you know what I think about that. But Duke-Kansas, I think, is what we're heading for, which I love it because I'm a fan of college basketball brands. I know that, again, I've said it a few times, the Cinderellas are nice, but I want the big brands, the best basketball teams making it. And Duke and Kansas doesn't get much better than that. It's going to draw a huge rating for college basketball because the brands are so big that, of course, alumni are going to watch it. Anybody who's even remotely interested in college basketball is interested in Villanova versus Kansas and North Carolina versus Duke. And you can just see how the NCAA and how CBS, how they viewed these tournament games when they had St. Peter's in the late window on Sunday. And when on Sunday, you want the early window where Kansas was. And they had St. Peter's in that late window because they just knew that that was the game that people were going to want to watch the least. So I love what's coming up in the Final Four. I love the four teams we have left. And in the women's Final Four, Stanford and South Carolina have made it. UConn, and they're both number ones. UConn is on their way trying to make it. They're going to try and find their way into the Final Four. And then we'll have Michigan looking to pull the upset tonight. They're the three seed looking to take out the number one seed, Louisville. In women's college basketball, the one seeds just don't go down like they do in men's. There's a chance that the Final Four in women's college basketball is the four number one seeds. As North Carolina State will take on UConn and Louisville takes on Michigan. So make sure you tune in to that tonight, 9 o'clock, if you want to see the Michigan Wolverines try and make their way to the Final Four. All right, 6:30 in the Sunrise Set. Big news out of Detroit today in the world of football in two separate things. Got two news stories to talk about, and it should be pretty fun with HCDC on HBO. That's all coming up right after this on WKJC, your power station for sports.
We're Northeastern.
Our hair, spa, and Alpina stores are hiring. Todd Pulley here, and I've been working for the Smith family for over 25 years. We are looking for an inside salesperson at our Alpina store. Our Harrisville store is looking for installers, warehouse, and delivery personnel. If you have a good driving record and like to work with people, apply today at either store or email resume to newd@core.com. All positions are full-time, year-round employment with benefits. Northeastern Window and Door has been serving Northeast Michigan for over 43 years. Come and join our team today.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint. Now Benjamin Moore's quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood, along with award-winning service and advice Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock, with people who know their paint. Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet models with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $750 in Chevy Select Market Cash, plus $500 in Chevy Consumers Cash. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads. Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
This is Monday Night Lights on 104.7 WKJC. Phone lines are open, 362-3417. Anything you want to talk about in the world of sports, more than happy to talk about it. 362-3417. You can text, you can call, whatever you want. 633 on the Sunrise Side. So today, there were two big announcements for the city of Detroit when it comes to the world of football. And I'll start with the one I have less to say on, and that is that the Lions, or Detroit, will be the host of the 2024 NFL Draft. This is a big get for the city of Detroit. This is really big. I know people outside of the sports world and really who aren't deep, deep sports fans like I am. You know, people like me, the NFL draft is a darn holiday. You know, the NFL draft is a big, big day in my life. To be able to just sit and watch those picks happen, sit and watch the NFL draft. And I understand it's just calling names, but if you haven't seen it, it's an event. It is an event on TV. One of the best ones I saw was a couple of years ago in Nashville. They are a lot of fun. And I can tell you right now where I'm going to be in 2024. I will be taking that day off work on that Thursday, and I will be there. Whether the Lions have a first-round pick or not, I don't care. Like, it's going to be me at the NFL draft because it is such a great event. And even when you're live, it's even more because, of course, all the energy, you know, those different pockets of fans. We have all the Jet fans here and all the Lion fans here and all the Bears fans here and the Patriots fans on, you know, the next little cluster. And so you're hearing different cheers and boos from different areas and different yelling and screaming from different areas. And there's live music usually happening. And of course, you have the commissioner there and people love to boo the commissioner. So it's awesome that the Lions will host, or Detroit will host in 2024. The NFL draft. It's going to be a great event for the city. It's going to bring a lot of people from everywhere into the city, and all of those businesses in Detroit, every hotel in and around the Metro Detroit area is going to get a huge boost out of the NFL draft in 2024. It's going to be awesome. I look forward to it. Detroit's going to get a chance to put on a show of who they are and who we are, and it's showing the growth of Detroit as not only a city, where the city is getting better. And I go to Detroit once or twice a year to go catch a game. Every time I'm there, the city's a little bit nicer, a little bit better. They're doing good work there. You know, you don't have to worry about as many. You know, if you're going to go down a side street, you're probably going to be all right. You're not going to go into a dangerous area. You're not going to go. The city is really been really, really good. And it's awesome for the NFL too, because Detroit's a great diverse city. It's a very diverse city and a very diverse sport. It's an African-American led sport. Detroit is an African-American led city. It's going to be great for the sport. And so that should be a whole lot of fun as well, to be able to really showcase how far Detroit has come. But it also says things about Detroit as a sports city that is starting to become interesting as a sports city, not just as, you know, an automaker city or as a crime leading city. It's now becoming a sports city. The Tigers are becoming interesting again. The Pistons just got the number one pick, and Cade Cunningham seems really good. Of course, it's Hockey Town USA. Now the Lions are becoming interesting. So it's showing up a lot how good of a sports city Detroit has become. That it's more, especially now that the Pistons and the Wings have moved downtown. That's great. When you drive down Woodward Avenue, it's awesome in there. Awesome. All the different things that you have down there, you know, with LCA and Comerica and Ford Field and, you know, the Fox Theater's right around the corner there. So there's a lot of good things to be excited about with Detroit. And this is going to be a whole lot of fun in 2024. And not only does this prove that it's interesting, but the Lions are going to be on HBO's Hard Knocks. Now, there are a few teams every year that literally just cannot say no to this HBO reality show. The Lions were one of them. And the rules pretty much are, if you made the playoffs last year, you do not have to have Hard Knocks. It can be offered to you, but you can say no. That is a team that any team that made the playoffs cannot say no. Any team with either brand new coach or any team with a brand new coach cannot be on Hard Knocks. So last year, the Lions could not be on it. So you made the playoffs, or if you have a first-year coach. So that's a lot of teams, right? So teams like the Bears and the Jaguars and the Vikings and the Denver Broncos and... I mean, insert team here. Lots of them get changed every year. So it was three teams that couldn't say no to Hard Knocks. And I think, you know, there were years where the Lions were eligible for it, when we had like Jim Schwartz and Jim Caldwell. And I didn't want Hard Knocks there because you could just tell that Detroit wasn't great. But you know, maybe it's just optimal thinking or optimistic thinking after 1 year of Dan Campbell that this seems different. This seems like a much better culture to have a reality show around. And I think this is exciting for, you know, getting the NFL draft is big for the city. Getting Hard Knocks is big for this team because it shows you that we're interesting. And you know who that main character is our insane manimal that is Dan Campbell. And I think one thing that you're also going to see with Dan Campbell is not only are you going to see that he isn't just a meathead, but you're going to see the way that he motivates those players. I think Dan Campbell's going to be the star of the show. Usually it's some star player, you know, you maybe the quarterback, maybe there's some, you know, big name players. But no, this is going to be Dan Campbell as the star team, or the star player, is star of the show. Not going to be Jared Goff. Jared Goff's about as interesting as, you know, watching paint dry. But it's going to be Detroit. So it's not some awesome city. Like, they've been to L.A. a couple times with the Rams. They've been, you know, I think the Chargers had it. Then they've also had, you know, all sorts of different people who've had it. But, of course, the Browns and the Cowboys have had it more than anybody else. And the Cowboys were, of course, in the playoffs. So they couldn't be it this year, or else they probably would have. But the Browns could have. They didn't. They got turned down. The Browns have had it a couple of times. Detroit has it because they're interesting. I think another thing you're going to see is you're going to see kind of an uncensored look at, of course, HBO. Doesn't, you know, you can do a few more things on HBO than you can do on network television, right? So I think you're going to see an uncensored look at Dan Campbell, get an idea of who he really is, not just, you know, the guy at the podium. And I think it's going to be interesting. I've never watched Hard Knocks. I have never seen it. I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge fan of sports. I've never seen Hard Knocks. I've never had HBO. But I might for this. I might for these 5 weeks. I might see if I can, you know, find a free trial or something and give me a couple of weeks and then pay for a couple of weeks before I cancel it. Something like that. But I think I might watch Hard Knocks. I think the Lions are interesting enough. I think other Lions teams I may not have watched. But this one's interesting enough where I think it's worth watching the Detroit Lions on Hard Knocks. It's going to be great. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun with that team. This team is young. They have energy. And, of course, our head coach is a madman who's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. And I was glad that, you know, when I was kind of looking around, things what people were saying about it, and you had a lot of people in the media excited about the Lions being on Hard Knocks, which is great because people haven't been excited about the Lions on anything in years. But the culture's changing with Detroit. And it feels like we're actually in a good spot. We don't feel undisciplined. This is the best the Lions have felt since Jim Caldwell was the head coach. This is the most excited I've been. And we weren't very good. We were the second worst team in football last year. But yet, there's optimism. And yet, this team is interesting, right? And so now, the country is going to be able to watch the Lions on Hard Knocks. And hopefully, the Lions brand grows a little bit. And in 2024, 2 years from now, hopefully Detroit's brand grows a little bit for how great of a city it is. And hopefully things start to look up in the world of sports by that time too. And hopefully we're talking about some championship caliber Detroit Lions teams, Detroit Tigers teams, and a fun, fun city to be. All right, let's talk about that quote-unquote championship caliber Detroit Tigers team. That's coming up right after this. 6:43, it's Monday Night Lights.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Odds are there's an ace right in your neighborhood with expert advice and the right tools to make your quick fixes even quicker. Around the block, what you need in stock with people who know their stuff. Welcome to the Home Convenience Store. Stop in to your local Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations. Ace is the place with helpful hardware folks.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
We're Northeast Tank. Window and door.
Now's the time to start planning for those warm weather outdoor projects. CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $94.50 per square with rooftop delivery available. Mastic siding starting at $90 per square. We stock 11 colors of Fibron and AZEK composite decking. Pella and Larson storm doors in stock, ready to enhance your curb appeal. We are an authorized dealer of Clopay garage doors and LiftMaster garage door operators. From footing to finish, from big to small, let the experts at Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena help you with your next project. Summer hours coming soon.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet models with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $750 in Chevy Select Market Cash, plus $500 in Chevy Consumers Cash. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is Monday Night Lights. Brad Allen here with you on this Monday evening, March 28th, 646 on the Sunrise side. So, let's transition to the next thing we got to talk about is we're just over a week away from Major League Baseball opening day, which is coming on April 7th. Detroit Tigers will start on April 8th at home against Chicago. And there's a lot of questions surrounding the Tigers this year. And next week we'll do full-on predictions. But right now what we're going to talk about is roster construction, right? All of the interest is on which of the kids is going to make the team, if any. One of the guys who has already been told he's not making the team is Ryan Kreidler, the shortstop who just lit up minor league baseball last year with Torkelson and Green, who we're going to get to in a second. Alex Fiedo, a guy who's not going to make it, who's coming off of an injury. But that's okay. You kind of don't expect him to make it. But he should make it at some point this year. And same thing with Kreidler. But the interesting thing is, with now 28-man rosters to start the year, things become interesting with Torkelson and Green. 28-man roster to start the year. On May 1st, it'll go back down to 26, where it usually is. So you expect the Tigers to carry one more pitcher and one more position player. That's just what you would expect. Out of this, I think it'll open up an avenue for someone like Harold Castro to make the team out of camp without a problem. Maybe even Isak Paredes to make the team out of camp. Because I think, and I said this last week when we were talking about this, I think the only way Spencer Torkelson, the number one overall pick a couple of years ago, or Riley Green, the number five overall pick a couple of years ago, the only way they make the roster is if they're going to start. Now, they've been starting just about every game of spring training, so it seems like they're on their way to being on the team, right? It seems like they're going to be in Detroit on April 8th, that is. But there's no guarantee, and manager A.J. Hinch even said, he goes, right now they have not made the team, which is one of two things. Either it's true, you take it at face value, and Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, the two players that we have been hearing about for a couple of years coming through the system, who I went to Grand Rapids to watch when he got called up to single A, it could be that, yeah, they haven't done enough to make the team. That, you know, maybe their defense isn't there. We want them to see more pitches before we bring them up, you know, because it is a shortened spring training. But with that, Al Avila has already said that they're not going to do service time manipulation with these two. That service time manipulation is, of course, you know, how long you've been in the league starts when you get there, and I think it's something like after 2 weeks, it's impossible to get a full year of service time, and that can be messed with you with your contract down the road. It's stuff that I feel like the people listening to the show right now not that interested in. I could go in on it forever. But they said they aren't going to do that. That if they're good enough to make the team out of camp, they're going to make the team. So you can take what AJ Hinch said as, hey, we don't know if they've made the team yet. There's a lot of talented guys here who were on the team last year. Riley Green, if he makes you to take a spot away from Derek Hill or Daz Cameron, he'd have to take a spot away from them. Or Victor Reyes. Because Robbie Grossman's going to make it. Akil Badu's going to make it. But you wonder who's going to be that third guy who makes it. Who's going to be starting in the outfield. Harold Castro, another one you have to worry about. Spencer Torkelson, if he makes the team, that's a spot away from Isak Paredes. Or that's a spot away from a third catcher making the team. So it's tough to decide, right? And then you could take it how I expect to take it, which is, well, yeah, they made the team, but we can't say it. We can't just let them. You got to make these kids work hard. You got to make sure that they're working hard to let know they've made the team out of camp. Because I'll tell you right now, anybody who's a Detroit Tigers fan who watches the Tigers on a near daily basis. Are you like me? And if they don't make the team, you're going to need a darn good explanation of why not. Because there's no doubt they are one of the nine best hitters on the team, each of them. There's no doubt about it. They're one of the nine most talented people out there at any time. I couldn't see why they wouldn't make the team. So I think what AJ Hinch here is doing, the manager of the Tigers, is he does not want to get them to stop working. He wants to make sure that they're put under some pressure. See how they perform. When they think they're trying to make the team, when we all know they're going to make the team, especially Spencer Torkelson. But I think they're a package deal. And Riley Green has looked really darn good. Hit another home run today. Spencer Torkelson followed it up right afterwards with a shot off the wall that would have been a home run had the wind not blown in it. So I think both of these guys make the team. I think you're going to see both Torkelson and Green be in the lineup on that Friday night in Detroit. Probably batting about where they are now, 6th and 7th, 7th and 8th, something like that. That's where they've been hitting all spring training. You notice that they're always back-to-back, and they're always back-to-back because this regime, Al Avila and AJ Hinch, they pair them together. You will never talk about Torkelson without talking about Green. You'll never talk about Green without talking about Torkelson. You'll never see them apart. They're like best friends. This is going to be a fun group because you know they're going to push each other. And Ryan Kreidler was starting to be a third guy, and he probably will make it this year, the first injury in the infield. Other guys to watch who I thought have been impressive, who you're going to see this year, is Cody Clemens. He's another guy to watch. Again, a loaded infield that the Tigers have. They have a lot of position players fighting for spots. Cody Clemens is one of them. He is the son of Major League Baseball pitcher Roger Clemens. And he's been a whole lot of fun. He offers a left-handed bat. He could be really good for the Tigers down the road. Cody Clemens is a name to watch. Also, I think you got to have a bounce-back candidate here in Willie Castro this year. Can he finally? He looked like in 2020 that he was the guy, right? He looked like we have our shortstop of the future in Willie Castro. Last year was not great. Nico Goodrum had to take over some shortstop, and he wasn't good at that either. And so then we spent $140 million over the next 6 years on Javier Baez, who's going to be, I love Javier Baez. People who follow baseball know that Javi Baez was on the Chicago Cubs team that won the World Series in 2016. My dad, a huge Cubs fan. Javi Baez is always my favorite Cub. I love him. The dude plays baseball the exact wrong way. I mean, the guy swings at absolutely everything. There's not a pitch in the world he doesn't like. He does not work a count. He swings as hard as he possibly can every time. He plays baseball the exact wrong way. He's not a guy who's just going to shoot it to right field for a base hit when there's two strikes. It's not his style. Man, is he fun, and he might be the best defender in the sport. The guy is so smooth with the glove, and that's going to be huge behind these young pitchers, right? It's going to be huge behind Casey Mize and Spencer Torkelson and Matt Manning, and Tarek Skubal, not Torkelson, and Matt Manning, to be able to have a shortstop behind you who's going to make every play, especially with the possibility of the shift not being a thing anymore where you can't overplay. So it's going to be a big deal to watch down the stretch. Should be a whole lot of fun with the Tigers this year. I look forward to it. I'll give you my predictions on the season next week when we do right before opening day. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen with this team, you know, what they're going to do with the trade deadline. But I do think this team is built well. I like that they picked up Michael Pineda since last we did this. I think he's going to be good. I think he'll fit in the rotation. He'll do all right. I just kind of eat innings. He'll just kind of, you know, get out there and throw the ball, and he'll be all right. I look forward to it. Baseball season is my favorite time of season. It's my favorite sport. I love baseball. I look forward to the Tigers. They're going to be interesting. Past couple of years, they've been fun, even though they haven't been good. They have at least been fun. And I think this year they have an outside shot at actually competing for that extra wild card spot, for that third wild card spot now. I think that this team is on the verge. I think A.J. Hinch is a top, easily top 10, maybe even top 5 manager in baseball. If I'm Al Avila, you go whenever his time for a contract stint, you offer, just blank check him. Whatever it costs, pay the guy. Because A.J. Hinch is getting the best out of every single young player that's through there. And the Tigers, they have a lot of talent. You know, it's not like the last few years where we've been kind of watching and you're wondering who's going to make the team because they all stink. There's a lot of talent on this team. And now our starting lineup isn't set because we don't have just 9 verified starters, but we do know that we're going to have some guys who are talented and are going to push everybody else, and some people are going to fall away who we like, and they're going to fall away, and we're not going to end up liking it at all. So that won't be great. But another way you can tell that Torkelson and Green are probably going to make the team is the fact that Miguel Cabrera has not stopped talking about either of them. Miguel Cabrera has said, I'll move down in the lineup for them. That's fine. I will do whatever it has to take. I'll DH so that Torkelson can play first base because he knows that that guy's going to make the opening day roster. He knows. We all know that the young kids, it's their time now in Detroit. We wouldn't be spending the money we did in this offseason on guys like Eddie Rodriguez and Javi Baez in trading for Tucker Barnhart if we didn't plan on having our best players on the field for this season. We play in a bad division, ladies and gentlemen. The American League Central is not very good. And the White Sox are really, really good. They're going to win the division. I don't see, unless they fall apart and the Tigers have an even more, they have a 2006-esque year, the White Sox are going to win the division. Heck, even in 2006, the Tigers didn't win the division. But this team will compete, and I think because we play in such a bad division, this Al Avila and A.J. Hinch are seeing this and going, man, we got a chance. If we can beat up on the Guardians and the Twins and the Royals, we have a chance of making it to that third wild card spot. We have a chance of getting over 500 and being there to compete and play in the postseason. And just get a chance for those young guys to play in the postseason, which is all so important. All right, so enjoy the college basketball tonight. Enjoy Michigan, the women taking on Louisville, the number 1 seed. That's coming on at 9 p.m. tonight. We have been brought to you by Blue Bear Jewelry in East Dallas. Kevin Hummer, accounts at Dean Arbor Chevrolet, U.S. 23 East Dallas. Rogers, Ace Hardware, Klaus Family, Ace Hardware's 14 locations to serve you. Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville. And also by Northeastern Wind Door of Harrisville and Alpena. Leah is coming up next at the top of the hour. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll do a full 4 hours of country music. This has been Monday Night Lights, the MAB award-winning Monday Night Lights show with me, Brad Allen.
You've been listening to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen. Tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.